Hello, I think this is working. Hello, happy Friday. Okay, so this is a little video, and I've invited a guest to join me because I don't want to be accused of mansplaining to women, and I'm generally quite careful when it comes to that. So I've got some help from a nutritionist, and we will bring her on in a second. And okay, so I think she joined. Bear with me, I'm new to this. So Tamara is there.
Request to follow. A request to go live. Hello. I can't hear you. Can you hear me? Oh, shit. What's going on? Can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Can everybody else hear me?
I can hear you now. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
How are you? Good. Well, Tamara, what do you do? Tell me what you do.
That's a very broad question. What do I do in my private life? What do I do in my work life? I am a nutritionist. So yeah. I have a Bachelor of Health Science, and I work with men with non-communicable diseases, but I also work with women with hormonal gut issues. So women who have gone through either post-pill conditions or entering perimenopause and seeing those hormonal shifts and realizing that it's having an effect on them metabolically and inside their gut and leading to these issues which they can't explain.
Awesome. I knew you were the perfect person to ask. Awesome. So I have some questions for you that I've been asked, and I've been asked these questions many times. Would you be able to help me?
Yeah.
Cool. So I think the first one will stay on topic. I'm struggling to lose weight. I'm perimenopausal, and the diet that I used to do, it doesn't work anymore. Can you help? I know it's a broad question, but let's try and get through it.
Okay. So yes, very broad. There are a number of reasons for this, so I'll take you through three possibilities of why this could be happening. So if you are perimenopause, for people who don't know what that is, this is the time frame or the transition from having a regular menstrual cycle to losing your menstrual cycle. So this can happen anywhere from late 30s even, up until about 51, 52 is the average age women in Australia lose their menstrual cycle. So what happens during this phase is we have a hormonal shift, we have sleep disturbances, and we also change our pattern of eating, particularly macronutrients and what macronutrients actually fuel our body. So going number one with the hormonal changes, throughout your regular menstrual cycle, you will have rises of estrogen and progesterone, spikes of testosterone. And when we enter perimenopause, we start to get shifts in these hormones where progesterone slowly drops off, but estrogen gets a fluctuation. And sometimes our hormones will be out of balance for what is optimal for the body. Now, when our estrogen is fluctuating, we tend to get a higher cortisol level. And our cortisol is our stress hormone. When we have a higher stress hormone, we tend to eat more. We get those sleep disturbances. We're not utilizing insulin as well. So we become more insulin resistant, meaning we're not shuttling our fuel into our cells. And instead, we are storing them as body fat. So if you're not losing weight in a perimenopausal period, it could be that your hormones are not optimally functioning and you're storing more body fat and your current diet isn't working for you, because that macronutrient shift that we might need to look at for you transitions from whether you utilize carbohydrates, you utilize fats, what your protein intake should be, what your exercise levels are. And because of all these hormonal shifts and we get that rising cortisol, our sleep then suffers. And your sleep is one of the most fundamental health outcomes that you can work on in order to promote optimal health and specifically weight loss. When we're not sleeping, our hunger levels increase and our satiety levels, so our fullness cues, decrease. So we tend to end up eating more, or we reach for foods that aren't as nutritious and temporary values. How is that happy?
That's good. Yeah, no, absolutely. So I'll ask if you, I'll just kind of clarify. So you're saying that the type of foods that one should eat change a little bit? Is that okay? And that the effect of these hormonal changes disrupts sleep, and focusing on sleep might be a really good, as difficult as it is, I get a lot of pushback from telling perimenopausal women to focus on sleep. But it's an important part of, even if it's hard, as difficult as it may be, it's an important part of the process and allowing your body to respond. Make sense?
Yeah. So sleep, hormonal changes, and also our dietary needs change.
Yeah.
So these are the top three things that I would focus on with a client who is entering their perimenopausal stage.
Okay. Perfect. That's good. So I've got another question that pops up quite often, and it's not unique to women, but women tend to experience it more, and it's around iron. So the question is, I'm always tired. My doctor said that my iron's low. But they don't want to get an iron infusion because it's painful. And they don't like taking iron tablets because it upsets their guts, or it actually says it makes it constipated. So what's your take on that, and how to kind of get to the bottom or give some decent advice to this person?
First of all, it's extremely common, especially in menstruating women. Low iron is very prevalent, and this can be for a number of factors. So whether it's they're simply not eating enough, whether there's chronic gut issues going on, such as inflammation or poor absorption, what is happening in their bodies that they might not be absorbing the iron, but also then creating it and shuttling it into their cells. So we need a range of nutrients to create red blood cells. And whether you're getting all your B vitamins, especially B9 and B12, are used to make red blood cells as well, not just iron. So some people think, I'm tired, my iron is low, I have to eat more iron. But it could also be potentially that you're not eating some of the other nutrients that are needed to create hemoglobin.
Yeah.
So if we took this client and asked what their dietary intake is, just to see whether it is just a nutritional deficiency, or we could take some blood tests to see what their inflammation levels are like in their body. Do they have an underlying gut issue such as celiac disease, which is inhibiting the absorption? You could have bacterial overgrowth in the stomach, H. pylori, which decreases your stomach acid production. And stomach acid is essential for absorbing iron. So depending on where your deficiency in your absorption or where that's coming from would depend on what we would address first. I personally don't like standard iron supplements because, as your client said, they do promote constipation, and that's not fun for anybody, because when we're constipated, we get this reabsorption of the water in our large bowel. So imagine you're excreting waste from your body through your digestive tract, and that waste is sitting in your large bowel with the water reabsorbed back into your body. You're absorbing toxins back into your bloodstream. That then doesn't make you feel good. It then contributes to more fatigue. So what we want to do is get you onto a supplement, if that's your choice, that is easily absorbed. Something like an iron bisglycinate. It passes through the stomach. It passes through the small intestine as a whole, and it's absorbed at a much higher rate and provides more utilization, so to say, without that constipation side effect. So the form of your supplement is very important to how easily absorbed it is and digested and then utilized. So just to recap, we would look at what else is going on in your body, whether it's nutritional, whether you've got an underlying condition. If you don't want to take an iron infusion, I would suggest taking a supplement that is of a good quality form. Not just something from a chemist. These are typically the ones that do cause constipation. And also how you're eating is quite important. So tannins, which are found in tea, can inhibit the absorption of iron. So if you're having a steak or chicken or something, or even leafy greens, lentils, which all contain iron, try to avoid having teas or things like that in the same meal, because that will inhibit the absorption of iron. Plant-based iron needs a lot of vitamin C to increase its uptake. So pairing lentils with spinach, lemon juice, something that has vitamin C, which is found in most fruits and vegetables, to increase the absorption of non-heme iron, which is a vegetarian iron. Whereas heme iron found in animal-based products is much more readily absorbed, and you don't need the vitamin C to increase its absorption.
Can I go a bit deeper? Yeah. On just the supplement side of things, so we were talking about a better quality iron supplement. How do you know, obviously know what a better quality iron supplement is, and where do you go to find these bowls? You could go to the shop, or you could go to nutritionists like yourself, or you know, a healthcare profession. So how does the average person find the better quality iron supplements?
First of all, by seeing a practitioner. A practitioner will never put you on an iron supplement without taking your bloods first. It's incredibly damaging to take an iron supplement when it's not needed. So we'll always test your bloods first to see if you need it. And as I said, looking at underlying issues to why you would be needing the iron supplement in the first place. And looking at the back of the packet, if it's a ferrous sulfate or something like that, those are the ones that tend to cause constipation. And that's what the iron is attached to in its formation. Whereas, as I mentioned, something like a bisglycinate is a more easily absorbed attachment. So things are attached, molecules are attached to the supplement. So when it goes through your digestive tract, where it's absorbed, when it's absorbed, how easily it's absorbed. A bisglycinate version is a lot more readily absorbed. And this is something that would need to be prescribed by a practitioner, which is why I don't suggest ever just buying your supplements from Coles or Woolworths or the chemist, unless you know the brand, it's a reputable brand, and you also seek clarity from a practitioner or your GP, somebody who can tell you and advise you which one is best for you.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense. Cool. That's good. Let's finish up there. Tell people a little bit how they can get in touch with you, or how they can follow you for more, or if they want to book an appointment.
So I'm tagged in this video. Just follow me on Instagram, nutritionally_you_. I provide lots of tips about female health, optimizing your gut microbiome, balancing your hormones. You can also go to my website, www.nutritionallyyou.com.au, and book in for a call with me there. If you are entering menopause or you do have gut issues or skin issues that tend to start in the gut, let's get to the bottom of it. Let's look at you as a whole and tailor your protocol for you. Thanks, Richard.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.
See you.
Happy weekend.
Bye. See you. Happy weekend.